Morning all. And for the second running, the Endrian cast is starting with a tribute this week. Despite us proceeding and pressing on with our Flemish Classics special as we were there, we will of course be taking the time to reflect on the loss of Antoine de Moitié during the Gent-Wevelgem Classic on Sunday. It was a race that we planned to do some reporting from and a postcard back from, which we will proceed and do, because you would like to think that in any situation or circumstances like that, a rider would still want the race reporting on, their story told. So we will do that. In no ways is it meant to be disrespectful to Antoine or his family. It's just a situation that, unfortunately, and it is despite two deaths over the weekend, it is relatively rare still to have a loss in pro cycling. We'll all remember Fabio Carsatelli and Andrei Kivalev being the two most high-profile in competition recent deaths, but you know, even that spans two decades. So, without further ado, we'd just like to obviously express our condolences to the families of both riders involved, both of them from Northern Europe, one from Roubaix-Lyon Métropole and Antoine from the Wanty team. And really it only remains for us on that subject to say that you know, it was a pleasure to see you on your bike and such a terrible loss. Okay, so a lot of people have asked about the Flemish Classics, and so as with last year, the Fendrians did it on a budget. And I thought what I'd do is just to take you through that particular process to try and debunk some of the myths that it's a difficult and inaccessible place to get to. So, in short, we traversed the weekend that saw the Grand Prix E3 Harald Becker around Oudenaarde over a lot of the Tour of Flanders climbs. That's on Friday. And on Sunday, it went to the start of Gent-Wevelgem. And then yesterday, Tuesday, saw a little bit of the start of the first stage of the 3 days of the Pannonien-Kerkseide. So, 5 days or 4 days and a bit away, and in that, three exciting lots of bike racing. So, how it was done was a rather painful Good Friday trip to Dover, and obviously with the recent events there, security was a lot tighter than the last Good Friday when we traversed the port of Dover when it was pretty empty. But what we've found, and hopefully this is a handy hint number one, is rather than go to Calais, it's not actually that much extra to take the DFDS to Dunkirk, the ferry. Okay, so you're on the water probably 45-50 minutes longer than going to Calais, but it's a lot more, okay, the Dover terminal's the same, but it's a lot more relaxed the other end in terms of access to the motorway and various other things, so you can pretty much get on your way. And from there, we found ourselves in the centre of Bruges within an hour. So it's not the difficult challenge of driving hours and hours and on many roads around Europe. So you can actually do it fairly easily. No tolls on the motorway, which is another European myth debunked, that there's a toll booth every 10 yards. So yeah, accommodation's fairly reasonable. In and around Bruges, which is not a bad place to base yourself, primarily because we were quite close in terms of hotel space to both Trek Segafredo and Lotto Soudal and Topsport Vlaanderen, who had all set up base for the particular 2 weeks of Gent-Wevelgem and E3, and then the 3 days of De Panna in the week, and then Flanders, and then Paris-Roubaix the Sunday after. It's actually most of the teams do make a base around that Ghent-Bruges area and stick to it. So if you want a bit of talent spotting, a bit of rider spotting, you can certainly do that. The Trek team were in the centre of Bruges on Saturday lunchtime. They'd ridden in from their base on the outskirts of the city for a debrief maybe on the disaster of Harald Becker, where Fabian Cancellara had a mechanical and there was no team support. He produced a miraculous ride to get back on, helped by Jasper Stuyven, who we've mentioned as a Classics favourite in this particular show in recent weeks, but didn't have enough energy when Peter Sagan and ultimately Mikhail Kwiatkowski went clear to win the event. So they were in the town square in Bruges on the Saturday. So you can get a lot of talent spotting, see the bikes, see the riders. It's a fantastic atmosphere around classic time. the steam coming off the chips, the foam coming off the beer, fantastic. So it was all fantastically good. The atmosphere was great going on to Dernitz, a suburb of Ghent, for the start of Ghent-Wevelgem on the Sunday. Lots of talent spotting. We grabbed the word with Greg Van Avermaet of BMC. If you look on the website, which is http://:// fendrian.eu, you'll see some pictures of Fabian Cancellara that we took. You'll see a couple of films of riders riding to the start. We also grabbed a word for older listeners with Scott Sunderland, a Tour de France veteran and Australian rider, formerly connected with Saxo Tinkoff. It was great to speak to him and have a chat and talk about some of the races in the early to mid-90s that we'd watched him compete in. We both confidently predicted that Jürgen Relance would win, and he didn't. He came seventh. We also confidently predicted that Sagan wouldn't win, and he did. So even guys with masses of experience in the pro top-line peloton can get it as wrong as me. So that was quite comforting. The actual race itself started. There was no sign of, obviously, of course, of any of the tragedy that was still to unfold. The only ironic thing is that they did two laps of the town before going out into the Hellingen of Flanders, and there was actually a crash right near my feet. After about 2.5 kilometres, there was a pinch point coming through on the... And the cobbles were smooth as anything, so I don't necessarily blame the cobbles. But a Dimension Data rider went over on one side of the road, and that kind of flip effect saw a rider from Lotto come into the barriers. And it was just one of those pinch point type crashes, but it wasn't particularly a good start to the day for some of those riders. And then after that, the race went out on the course. The great thing about this particular part of the world is that you can see the bike race, which we did, and then, even though it wasn't used in the event, went back to the Oude Kwaremont via the Koppenberg and the Paterberg, just have a look, really, and see some of the roads that I rode up personally last year as part of my Flandrian quest to ride the Sportief, but also to sit and watch, you know, club riders and guys and girls having a great day out and about, riding up the hills and stopping the bar halfway up, the atmospheric bar. So fantastic. And again, all of this is kind of like an hour away from the ferry port, if not, you know, even less in some cases. And then it was back to Bruges for a nice overnight day in Bruges, and then back via the start of the first stage of the 3 days of the Panna. So a lot to see and do, a lot to cram into 5 days, of course. But what are you to spend an evening? Really enjoyable, do it on a reasonably cheap budget without having to break the bank, without having to cause yourself too much financial strain. Of course, you could take your bike, do bits of it by bike, and save even more. So what we would say is actually, having been to both the Tour of Flanders now and to the weekend, the Harald Becker Ghent-Wevelgem weekend, is I would maybe say, and it's difficult because I love Flanders, it's the greatest race in the world in my mind, but in terms of a spectator experience, if you want to watch the bike race rather than sample the atmosphere, I'd maybe go for one of the lesser semi-classics, of course, because you've got more accessibility and there's a lot more that more opportunity to interact. Whereas, of course, with the big classics, the big ones, the Flanders, even Roubaix, you're not going to get that level of intimacy and the chance maybe to chat to a rider, because they're a lot less relaxed and a lot more focused. I can't imagine anyone getting a word with Greg Van Avermaet next Sunday for Flanders. Okay, so time has beaten us as usual. I hope that guide to the getting to the classics maybe inspires you to get out there next year, maybe on a trip, maybe do your own. But get out there and enjoy it at least once, because it's a completely different way of enjoying bike racing, and it's a fantastic way to take it all in. So that's it. We didn't really have time even to talk about the Tour of Catalunya. Of course, next week we will be reporting on what happens on Sunday in the Tour of Flanders. In terms of our prediction, we'll stick with Edward Turns and Jürgen Relance, but I suspect Cancellara could well be the man. So there you go. Put some each ways on rather than some standard bets. That's all we have time for this week on the show. Thanks for listening, and speak to you soon.